From the purple heather of the North Yorkshire Moors, welcome to the GCN Show!
Woo-hoo! Welcome to the GCN Show. Coming up this week, an apology from us again. Are we cycling snobs? And does cycling have a wider problem with being unfriendly and elitist? And if so, what can we do about it?
We've also got an update on David versus Goliath 2025, cycle lanes ripped out because they were being used by drug dealers, and a naked bike thief. This week in the world of cycling, we learned that Matt Richardson is the fastest man on earth.
Yeah, he rode 200 metres in just 8.941 seconds with a rolling start to break the world record in Turkey last week.
That's an astonishing average speed of 80.5 kilometres per hour, or just over 50 miles per hour. Absolutely bonkers. I told you modern bikes are dangerous, didn't I? Although he is still some way short of the human powered record, which is basically pedalling a cycling missile. We also learned that winning the Italian national champs is a good way to get a contract as a pro cyclist.
That's right. Congrats to Filippo Conca, who is back in the World Tour, as of now, in fact, with Jaco Alula. And now we also learned that modern technology, despite all the advancements, was still not enough to make up for Dan's 27% reduction in power output since his days as a pro.
I'm definitely not the fastest man on earth, am I? No. Although in my days as a pro, I don't think I had to slow down for a horse and cart during a time trial.
No. I mean, I don't think even I think you're that old. Cars had been invented when you were a pro.
In the present day, si, I got stuck behind two sort of Shetland ponies.
There's just something inherently humorous about you in full time trial regalia overtaking two Shetland ponies, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that cost me at least 5 seconds, I'd say.
Yeah, probably. And at least you were going faster than the Shetland ponies.
Yeah, at least I had to overtake them.
Yeah, now for those that haven't watched it yet, do make sure you check out Dan's 10-mile time trial video from the weekend.
Finally, this week, we learnt that some of you took offence to last week's GCN show. Not to the images of those poor, disfigured bikes that we showcased.
Nor the lack of socks.
No, but to the sheer snobbery that we displayed about talking about them.
Yes, there were quite a few comments, weren't there? Yeah. So we have picked out a
we
few.
We have, yeah. We're going to start with Larry T at Cycle Italia. Bikes you hate should be banned. SCN, the Snob Cycling Network. How British of you, Spice Boys.
Spice Boys? Yeah. Is that a good thing?
I think
bad thing?
Quite good thing.
Rob N71, pair of roadie snobs turning your noses up to no socks and anything that's a bit different. Although, for the record, Rob, I would absolutely turn my nose up at a shoe that's been worn sockless because they stink.
Meanwhile, Christian Tomanson, Statler and Waldorf, please stop being so grumpy about people who use handlebars and socks, etc., in their own way. You snobs.
Yeah, you noticed that one was edited.
I didn't notice that comment.
So potentially it was even more critical before. I did Google Statler and Waldorf, by the way.
Muppets, wasn't it?
They were the grumpy Muppets, yeah.
The grumpy Muppets, forgot that bit, so fairly accurate then.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not typically grumpy.
Well, us, no. Just no. Muppets. Yeah. Ikebod said, what happened to the you do you mantra? Disappointed that your programme criticises riders who actually choose what they want to ride.
EJ West UK, lol, you lot are such dorks. Who cares what other people do with their bikes?
Yeah, well, everyone, let us tell you this.
Yeah.
Well, sorry.
Yeah. We genuinely didn't mean to come off as snobbish. I mean, it was meant to be largely tongue-in-cheek, wasn't it? Having a laugh, so to speak.
Yeah, entirely a laugh. Although...
Yeah. This is the caveat part of the apology, is it?
Yeah, everything before the but is rubbish. No, whilst I genuinely, and I think I speak for you as well, don't care at all what bikes people ride or how they ride him, I do want to double down on something from last week and say that I genuinely think that for most people, drop handlebars on a mountain bike are not a great idea. And my motivation for saying so is entirely to stop or try and stop people doing what I think, wasting money. And I say that as someone who's tried it. Because bikes are expensive enough, as they are, aren't they? But equally, you are 100% welcome to try. I'm not going to stop you, nor will I be judging you for doing it.
Yeah, right. You're a snob. In all seriousness, though, cycling has long battled its reputation for snobbishness.
Yeah.
The Velominati rule didn't really help that, I guess. They started as a joke.
Yeah, another one of those jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But quickly became adopted as a way of gatekeeping a secret society of those in the know.
Yeah. Now, personally, I think that those kind of rules peaked, didn't they, in about 2014, 2015.
Well, it was quite a long time ago. Yeah.
It was, yeah. And then I think cycling's been on the quite a journey to correct itself from that, hasn't it? And it's definitely made progress in some areas, but not necessarily in others.
In reality, though, the issue isn't really cycling, is it? Because that's an activity.
Yeah.
But rather the people doing it, many of whom have changed or adapted, but inevitably, some will be the same as ever.
Yeah. Oh, and think about how many new people have come into the sport as well over the last
loads
decade. Yeah. Now, interestingly, I was doing a bit of research on this topic. Okay.
Pro.
Well, I was just wondering whether it was us that were being snobby, or like who else has experienced it. So I found a lot of forums actually complaining of snobbery in cycling. A lot of it was people feeling they were judged for having a certain type of bike or not wearing cycling clothing. Local bike shops, it would seem, can easily fall foul of this. But then I was also quite struck by a lot of people complaining about inverse snobbery. So making someone feel bad for taking cycling too seriously, or yeah, like having a really expensive bike, or, I don't know, caring about their tyre pressure or something.
So basically people can be and are made to feel bad no matter what they do?
It does seem like that, doesn't it? I actually had it the other day.
I know you did. We've literally just been talking about how you judge people using drop bars on mountain bikes.
I wasn't judging. Anyway, no, this was actually a situation that arose whilst I was cycling to work the other day. Okay, so it was a Monday morning. I just joined the bike path. I was looking forward to doing a little bit of zone two, alone with my thoughts. Okay, been a busy morning, getting the kids ready and stuff. Anyway, this guy pulled alongside me and very nicely asked if he could pull turns with me. And I'll be totally honest, I just didn't want to. Like, I just wanted to ride on my own at 250 watts, literally in the zone, just chilling. And I sort of tried to sort of say, oh, you know, actually, I'm kind of doing my own thing. But he seemed really pissed off with me. And, you know, fair enough, I guess. He thought I was probably just being grumpy and unfriendly.
Well, you were.
Well, I tried to be nice, and I just needed a bit of quiet time. I didn't want to ride hard down the bike path with some random person. Not this time, anyway.
I do know what you mean. I've thought about this aspect of cycling, actually. For some, the social aspect is amazing. You can just team up with anyone on the road and have a nice chat or a cool ride together. But if you're a bit more introverted, or just plain rude in your case, I think so, what's to say that being on a solo ride and then having to chat to a random stranger for an hour or more won't be complete torture.
Right. And that's also true of just sitting silently in someone's draft, isn't it? Which, you know, can very much be considered someone's personal space. But then, you know, if you complain about it, you will definitely get people judging you for being grumpy or rude or whatever, won't you?
It's quite a tricky thing to navigate when you start thinking about it, isn't it? I had somebody sitting on my wheel. Actually,
really?
Day, so, without asking.
Not a Shetland pony.
Not a Shetland pony. This person did eventually come past on a road bike whilst I was flat out in my time trial position. He'd called me for a minute, basically, but he did have a sneaky sit on my wheel before he came past.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did you have a word with him? Did you say, like, oi, well, get off?
Didn't have enough time. When he did come past, he came past quite quickly.
I noticed, actually, from the onboard footage, that he did say hi to you.
And a wave, yeah.
Yeah, whilst he rode past. Yeah, no.
Do you say hi to people when you're riding?
Yeah, for sure I do. I say hi to people.
To everyone?
Well.
That was an awkward silence.
Well, I'm being totally honest here. There are a lot of cyclists in our area. Yeah. And I wave at people who I think would appreciate the wave and will acknowledge me back.
Right, how do you judge this?
Don't do this, mate. There are so many people riding bikes where I live. My concern, right, because most of them are just riding bikes for transport, and I worry that they think it will be really weird to be waved at by a middle-aged man in Lycra, basically wearing enormous sunglasses.
I do get what you mean.
So, yeah, so I sort of, I try and make a judgment based on whether or not I think, and it's completely, completely subjective, isn't it? Purely on appearances. You got me. Bang to rights.
I guess it does illustrate the point, though, doesn't it? I mean, you even made a video about it, I seem to remember, about 9 years ago.
Saying hi on your ride. That's right. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hey!
Serious? You're riding a bike. I'm riding a bike.
You're a rider. I can't believe it.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, I think the issue is that cycling is such an amazingly diverse thing, isn't it? I mean, you can't say sport, right? Because it's a mode of transport. Like, it is just a thing. And so you've got people who are literally just wanting to get to the shops or to school safely and slightly quicker than walking. Yeah. Right the way through to hardcore tech nerds, you've got a garage full of weird and wonderful bikes, and they know in detail every gear ratio from Campagnolo cassettes from 1988 through to 2003.
Which means that you're more likely to somehow come into contact with someone who either judges you for your choices or who makes you feel judged for your choices.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I suppose the question is then, following this realisation that cycling is so big and so diverse that it's very easy to get judged by someone, what can we actually do about it? And I think there's a couple of things we can take from it, right? So firstly, as always, in any walk of life, just be nice and friendly to people. Full stop, no exceptions.
Well, unless they've got drop bars on a mountain bike, surely.
No, I would be nice and friendly to them as well. And I wouldn't judge them. But, you know, I just would want to stop other people doing it. Anyway, the person riding an entry-level bike wearing baggy clothing might well be a future Tour de France winner. He's just got a limited budget. Or the old guy on the superbike might actually be a full-time volunteer at a homeless shelter. You just don't know, do you, about anyone based on what you can see.
And then secondly, be aware that advice, however well-intentioned, might not go down that well.
Yeah, that's a really important one, isn't it? So, blooming well, keep quiet about handlebars, for starters. You see, the thing is, right, I just don't understand why people like drop handlebars.
Oh, you're not so still much. Going on about
well,
it.
Well, I am a little bit. Oh, maybe it's because I was a mountain biker before I was a road rider. But aside from tradition, like, what's actually good about drop handlebars?
More aero.
Yeah, but you're more aero on TT bars.
Well, they do that in gravel, don't they?
Well, a lot of them got banned, actually. But do you know what I mean? Like, if you were asked to design something from scratch to steer a bike with, would you actually come up with drop handlebars? I don't think you would. Steering wheel?
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wonder, therefore, why you would stick it on a mountain bike.
No. Well, in conclusion then, Si, we can wrap up this part of the show now. That was probably the most caveated apology in the history of apologies.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. But genuinely, we'd love to know what you think about this, because it is a really big and quite a thorny topic, isn't it? Certainly, we would never want to cram across as judgy, although I feel like it's kind of our job sometimes to have opinions on things.
Yeah,
because otherwise,
there's a fine line between the two.
Exactly. So anyway, sorry if we got it wrong. For sure. But yeah, any experiences that you've had, either of snobbery or inverse snobbery or of getting things wrong by accidentally dispensing with advice, get involved in the comment section. We'd be super interested to read. We can hopefully learn something.
Just before we move on to the next part of the show, actually, we're going to give a shout out to shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com. We've got some Spanish-related T-shirts up
there
at the moment.
We have. Big race going to be going on there soon, Dan.
There will be indeed. We've got a preview show, incidentally, for the Vuelta coming up today, actually. So you can watch that over on GCN Racing. But yeah, if you'd like to make a purchase, either go to the link in the description below or click on the QR code that's on the screen now. You don't click on it, do you? Scan it.
Yeah, I'm wearing mine.
Is that from last year?
El Toro. Well, yeah, so this one was so popular last year, we brought it back. Probably because I make it look so good.
And now it's time for cycling shorts.
Cycling shorts now, and we're going to start with the news that David did not beat Goliath this time around, unfortunately.
This was British rider Charlie Tanfield, himself an Olympic medal winner and former world champion in the team pursuit, who had a crack at Filippo Ganna's world hour record. Although he's clearly a super talent and quite well decorated, it did feel that Ganna's already a giant of the sport, isn't he?
He is, yeah. And unfortunately, Charlie did not quite manage to surpass his record. In fact, he faded at the end, didn't he, to post just shy of 54 kilometres. So the seventh fastest or farthest in history, isn't it?
Fair play, though, to Charlie, because that's still a serious ride I'm sure he's got a big story to tell about his prep and the day.
Yeah, I bet there is a story to tell there. Yeah.
Another Brit, Will Bjørgfelt, managed to break a paracycling hour record, though. He took the men's C5 with a distance of 51.47 kilometres.
Yeah, congrats to Will for that one. Yeah, big ride. Next, I want to highlight what's frankly a deeply irritating report on GB News, which is a right-wing UK news channel. There's a point in highlighting it, though. Now, fair enough. They see the world through a different lens to me, as might many of you, in fact. But this article about a bike lane being ripped out is something that I think we should all be aware of.
The headline is that a cycle lane exploited by drug dealers will cost £2 million to remove. That's actually a direct quote from the local mayor, Ben Houchin, who said that the cycle infrastructure is mainly used by kids causing trouble and drug dealers who exploited it as a bike run to get through traffic.
That's annoying, isn't it? But it's not clear why it's actually been removed, other than it seems like some people have tripped over some of the dividers that separate the bike lane from motor vehicles. But the thing is, I couldn't help but notice there's actually a stat in that article that points out that since the bike lane was created, the number of cyclists injured over the same period of time has dropped from 14 people to just 3.
Yeah, there are loads of examples of this, really, aren't there? We know there's a culture war being stoked. Just got to be aware of it.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? You pull out a bike lane because a few people have tripped over it, despite the fact that it's saved, whatever it is, 11 people from being injured while cycling. Anyway, yeah, please be aware of it. And also realise, too, that your voice is important on local issues because you can influence decisions that impact your local area just by writing letters and emails and stuff. And actually, if you live in British Columbia, in Canada, there is something for you to do right now.
Yep, so Canadian Cycling Magazine are reporting that the Burnaby Velodrome is unfortunately under threat. So the local authority are on the lookout for a new company to run the facility. But as part of that process, a change of use can also be proposed, meaning that it doesn't have to stay as a velodrome.
Yeah, which would clearly suck, wouldn't it? And be a huge loss for the local cycling community. And it seems like it's easy to help, or at least the Burnaby Velodrome Club Task Force have made it easy to help. They've created a simple Google form that you can fill out, and we'll put a link to it in the description.
Yeah, sticking with Canada, we spotted this story in the Hamilton Spectator. 22 years since they hosted the World Road Championships, a man was in the news having been knocked off his bike by a naked bike thief, and he ended up in hospital.
Yeah, I mean, it's utterly bizarre. There's actually dash cam footage of the incident. I have so many questions from this. I mean, the cyclocross remount from the naked bike thief was quite impressive. Fairly risky, you'd think. But jokes aside, at least the cyclist, Jerry Santucci, is recovering well, and he got his bike back as well. The attacker, naked guy, was swiftly arrested.
I wonder if it had a cut-out saddle on it. They're fine with a chamois, aren't they? I can't think of many occasions, actually, where I would consider cleaning a saddle with bleach. But this might be one.
It might.
The bike's returned.
I feel like you might treat yourself to a new one, in fact.
Yeah.
Anyway, like I said, get well soon, Jerry. I hope, it wasn't too traumatic for you.
Next up, it is time for Hack /Bodge of the Week. If you would like to get involved in this part of the show, globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader.
Uploader.
First up this week, not Jay Hill per average commuter bike in Japan. At a local park in Japan, in Tokyo, I saw this bike which broke my brain. Carbon cranks, deep wheels and flat handlebars, which appeared to be for commuting. And this was common in Japan.
Yeah, I mean, I got to say, that is one sick-looking commuter bike, isn't it? It kind of doesn't surprise me either. That's just like your classic, super cool fixie, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like they've kind of gone out of fashion over here. Super cool fixies were a much bigger thing. Am I not wrong? Or am I wrong, shall I say?
Years ago? You know, you're right. I think maybe they have dropped out of favour a little bit, haven't they? But
Interesting thing about this picture is that the bike appears to just be locked to itself, so it wouldn't take much for somebody to walk off with it.
Also, they've got flat handlebars on.
I mentioned that in the description.
No, I know, but as in, I just feel like, given our conversation earlier on.
Oh, I see.
That's probably
bodge.
A note.
Yeah. What a bodge. Ugh, I feel sickened even looking at it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is a cool bike, isn't it? It's neither a hack nor a bodge, is it? It's just cool. So, yeah, all right. Anyways, thank you very much for sending that one in, though. Next one, we got this from Robin Ekblad. CNC machined parts. Decided to use the machines at work to do some good for a change. Cycling parts. I wonder what they do normally. I know these parts are quite cheap to buy, but I like the challenge of manufacturing it myself. So I've got a Garmin mount for my aero bars and a chain guide for going one by.
I mean, CNC machining is so 2011, isn't it?
Yeah, but...
for a 3D printer.
Endlessly cool, though, CNC machine
I would
stuff.
Say this CNC machine gubbins looks way better than pretty much anything 3D printed that we see.
Unless it's 3D printed in titanium.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, but even so, there's something amazing about nicely machined aluminium. So, yeah, 100%, that's a hack from me.
Absolutely.
Fair play.
A hack from me as well. Graham yeah. Davidson, Tax Vertical Bike Stand. As a bikeability instructor, I've got loads of kid bikes and needed to reduce the space they took up, so I built a vertical stand for four bikes. I used an old Tax trainer as the base, and everything from the plywood to the various brackets were all spare parts that I found in my garage. Cost nothing, but a very satisfying build.
That's really cool. Is that stable? I'm just looking at the base, that Tax trainer, like, I assume it is, but it looks very narrow.
It does look quite narrow on closer inspection, doesn't it?
Yeah, maybe you've got to be careful that you, how you rack it up.
Maybe you have to sort of lift both bikes off at the same time.
I mean, yeah, I trust him. I believe it works.
Whatever the judgment, I'm going to say hack simply because doing bikeability is a great thing to do.
Absolutely.
So well done, Graham.
Yeah, and thank you very much for sending it in. I mean, we can see from the photo it clearly works. Yeah. So, yeah, that's cool. Mark Phelps sent this one in. My family has accumulated an abundance of bike water bottles over the course of the past few years, and my wife got tired of finding them all over the house.
We've got this issue.
Have you? Mm. So, anyway. He suggested using some water bottle cages to mount them to our kitchen wall to give the bottles a permanent
home. Kitchen wall? How did you get allowed to do that?
Well, don't know. Took the rough idea to my father, who's an excellent amateur carpenter. He took the idea and ran with it. Now our bottles have a permanent home that is organised and out of the way. That is very nice, actually, isn't it? That's a good little bit of woodwork.
It is, yeah. Probably reasonably expensive to make this bottle holder, given that you had to buy six bottle cages.
This is true. I mean, maybe they were like cheap ones off Amazon or AliExpress like that. But yeah, that's very cool.
I'm going to say hack for that one. Although without wishing to show off, six bottle cages would not solve the problem I have at home. I mean, we are in a fortunate position, obviously, and we do end up, well, I end up accumulating quite a few bottles. And it really, I can't throw them out. I've given quite a few away, but even then, sometimes... I mean, it doesn't help the fact that I used to hoard bottles from the pro teams I was in, thinking that I might one day have to pay for those bottles. So I wasn't prepared to pay a tenner each. So I've got quite a few at home.
Well, and the Camelback water bottles last a blooming long time, don't they? So it's not like you're ever going to, like, break them.
No,
so
great.
Yeah, OK. I think that's a hack then, isn't it?
Yep, hack from me as well.
Very cool.
Right, that's the end of that part of the show, but make sure we get involved ready for next week.
Have we just given out four hacks? Or three hacks and it wasn't a hack or a bodge.
Yep, three, yeah, exactly that.
It's been a good summer, good standard of entry, isn't it? Keep them coming. It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on an aforementioned GCN Camelback water bottle that will last you a long time. All you've got to do to win one is to put a witty caption in the comment section down below that relates to a photo we'll give you in just one sec after the results from last week.
Last week's photo was probably my worst ever caption.
Oh, it was terrible, wasn't it?
I'm never going to live that one down.
Well, no, I was cringing about it all week, actually, thinking about it.
Damiano Caruso of Bahrain Victorious with his teammate Torsten Trine swapping bikes. I've had a much better caption to read out for you now, obviously. Danny M. Rich said, "We're not Visma Lisa bike, so I'm going to steal it from you."
Ah, nice. That was pretty good. Kind of a bit of an homage to the previous week with Pauline Ferrand Prevot.
Linking them all together.
But yeah, no, that's cool.
Get in touch with us with a message on Facebook with your address and we will get that bottle sent out to you.
That's right.
This week's image is this one of Ellen van Dijk of Lidl Trek at the Tour de Pologne Women's.
What is she carrying down for our podcast listeners?
For podcast listeners, down the front of her road skin suit, she has got Pola the Bee, which is the mascot of the Tour of Poland.
Oh,
and
right.
Then down the back, to me, that looks like a bottle of wine.
It does look like a bottle of wine,
so
doesn't it?
So I will get you started. Bee before wine makes you feel fine. I'm much happier with that one.
Yeah, much better. I don't know how familiar people are with that phrase, beer before wine makes you feel fine. But that's where it comes from.
It is,
if we needed to explain it.
Wine before beer makes you feel queer, I think.
That's
the
right.
First part of it.
I have a feeling, though, enough beer before enough wine and you'll feel queer as well.
Yeah. There's a point where you feel great. Right, put your caption in the comment section down below. Pick a winner next week. Before we get on to what's coming up on the channel this week, we're going to read out yet more comments from underneath last week's show. First up, this one from Gravel Racer 1. Not all of them are quite as bad as what you're
No, they're not, actually, are they? Yeah.
I predict the next evolution of gravel bikes will be a drop bar dual suspension mountain bike, but with proper geometry.
Yeah. Well, someone else commented about the Niner MCR that I actually got to ride many years ago, and it basically was ahead of its time. So it was a full suspension gravel bike. So geometry designed for drop handlebars, but full suspension. And it was absolutely mega. It was a cracking little bike. And I just think it was ahead of its time. So anyway, sure something like that will come back. I chuckled from this from New Polish Scientist. Mountain bike drop bars are like onion cake, which I thought, yeah, very true. Could work, but also...
Probably doesn't.
Just an acquired taste, maybe.
Kathleen TX said, come down to Austin. The riding is pretty good and Breakfast Club is open to all. The groups are separated A to C based on pace and effort, and there's a D group that's more party, pace, social thing. They are well-sponsored, well-organised, super friendly and positive. They also created an app to help other local rides self-organise so you can find different types of rides throughout the week. And I actually got a message from Preston Glace, who's one of the organisers. Thanks for Preston. We've got an official invite over. So
yes!
If we're over that way, we will most definitely come and try out the Breakfast Club ride because it sounds absolutely epic.
The fastest group does 40 miles. That sounds perfect,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
In an hour.
No, that. Oh, that's quality. Anyway, this one made me chuckle. Strato John. Unreal. I was watching this episode thinking Cy has a grey streak in the front of his curls. Clearly don't. It looks like a middle-aged highlight. Then Dan says, you may find the following image disturbing, and he goes straight into an ad break for Alpacin grey hair treatment. I hate to break it to you, Strato John, but the ads that you tend to get served are based on what... is relevant to you, not to me. So it might well be that you're getting Alpecin grey hair adverts, you know.
Yeah. I kept seeing them during the Tour de France this year, the adverts for the Alpecin grey hair. I was quite tempted to get some, actually.
Well, I mean, it probably wouldn't hurt, would it?
No, it wouldn't hurt. Gus said, let's give Alex a break, guys. He doesn't have room for more than one pair of socks because his sock drawer is full of Dura-Ace crank sets.
Oh, I love that this joke won't go away. Alex... infamously said in a video that he was building up a bike and pulled out a pair of brand new Dura-Ace crank sets, saying that these are some he had lying around, and he was like, I'm going to put them on my budget build because I reckon they're only worth £100. This was about 5 years ago and we have not let him forget it, and no. Neither of you. Cherry Agana said, imagine having more Dura-Ace cranks than cycling socks. Oh, amazing.
Meanwhile, underneath how to change gear, Aztec Fitness, but probably most of the GSM viewers don't need to see these basic fundamental videos, but they helped me massively, so thank you guys. Whilst Nate Dog, MSM, shall I say, great video. Hate is going to hate, but not everyone is at the same level, and it's great to see content geared, accidental pun win, towards all riders.
Yeah. Well, it's true, right? Like, if you don't know about these things, you won't know unless someone tells you. So, yeah.
One of our most successful videos is how to remove and replace a rear wheel, isn't it?
It is, yeah. How to pump up a tyre is pretty blooming good. So, we consider it part of our duty to make these videos still.
Right then, coming up on the channel this week, we're actually on another channel, GSM Racing. Today, as mentioned earlier, you can watch the Vuelta a España preview show, so make sure you check that one out. Then on Thursday, Connor's been down in a laboratory, hasn't he? Testing out how many carbs he can oxidise. That basically means how many he's actually able to use versus how many he's consuming.
Yes, this is a really interesting investigation, isn't it, into whether or not these like high-carb fueling strategies are actually right for everyone, because it may well be that you simply can't oxidise all of those things. And then on Saturday, well, we're keeping our fingers crossed. So Ollie has been out in America, in the USA, doing an epic, epic ride that sadly went massively, massively wrong. So Ollie is okay, but kind of injured isn't he, yeah. really? So anyway, fingers crossed, Ollie gets back and that there is a video of his story because we all want to know, basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, get well soon, Ollie. So that's Saturday's vid. And then on Sunday, Connor visited the most dangerous junction in the UK to find out what on earth is going on.
Brilliant stuff. Right, that brings us to the end of another GCN show. We will see you again next Tuesday.
You won't. You're on holiday.
Oh, that's very true. I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
I'll be here.
Long holiday.
I'll be here.